Morning and welcome to our Bible study. Today is the seventh lesson, the seventh week of our long series of study on biblical spirituality. I think I have made a record. This would be the longest Bible study series ELBC ever had, I believe. So I hope and pray that all what we have discussed so far, very practical topic, so much confusion, externalism, traditionalism, legalism, you know, ceremonialism, all these things clutter and blur the real teaching of spirituality as seen in the Bible. And as we have established from the Word of God very clearly and authentically that biblical spirituality is spiritual maturity, it is spiritual discernment, it is spiritual growth in holiness and more like Christ-likeness. And that is the foundational truth, the fundamental truth in relation to biblical spirituality. And Paul divided mankind into three groups in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The psuchikos, the natural man, and the sarkinos, the carnal man, and the pneumatikos, the spiritual man. And the spiritual man cannot be judged by a worldly man or a natural man. The spiritual man is one who is not only indwelt by the Spirit, but he is filled with by the Spirit, and he walks in the Spirit. He is controlled by the Spirit. He is influenced by the Spirit. So the pneuma, the Spirit of God, is the revolving center of biblical spirituality, and our life in the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. So that is the anchoring truth in relation to biblical spirituality. So the most important truth is, you know, as we have been hearing during these days, both in Bible studies and in word ministry, practical holiness, Christ-likeness, fruit of the Spirit, all these things are related concepts, the fear of God, piety, godliness, all these things. So I hope and pray that this will give us a better perspective on practical Christian living. So my prayer is that, you know, myself, I, and all my brothers and sisters in ELBC, we all should be characterized not simply as a large assembly or an active assembly, dynamic assembly. All these things are good and we need that, a vibrant assembly. And we have many assemblies like that. But we may not find many assemblies with spiritual people, spiritually mature people. So our prayer should be, our passion should be for the new year, for this year, is that, Lord, help us to be a spiritual assembly, an assembly of boys and girls, men and women, uncles and aunties, you know, and parents and grandparents and grandchildren, we all being active, being mission-oriented, gifted assembly like Corinth, you know, all these things are good. We need that, you know. I always pray that the Lord may raise up more gifted people among us to minister effectively to the various needs we have. So Paul encouraged the Corinthians to pray for people who have, you know, spiritual gifts to be of more service to the assembly. We all need that. But above all, it will all be nothing if we are not spiritually minded people, if we are not spiritually mature, producing the fruit of the Spirit and Christ-likeness. So we will come back again to Ephesians chapter 5, the doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit, which we looked at last week. We will get into a little more exposition of the passage. Every Bible doctrine is given for practical application. So the doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit is found in the applicational part of the book of Ephesians, the practical exhortations. Seven times the word walk occurs in the book of Ephesians about Christian walk, walking in the spirit and walking in love. Look at chapter 5. The first part is walking in love. The middle part is walking in light. And from verse 15 is walking in wisdom. So it is about our Christian walk. Walk is a Hebraic expression denoting the daily conduct, the behavior of a Christian. That's why NIV sometimes translated it as, instead of walk, as live. So it is the daily Christian living, daily life, that is what walking is, you know. So seven times the word walk occurs, as I have shown you. And it is in the context of walking in wisdom, walking carefully. So verse 15, see then, chapter 5, Ephesians, see then that you walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time is the God-given opportunities God gives to us. Time here is not the calendar time, chronos time, but the kairos time. That is a sovereignly bounded period of time allotted to us in God's predetermined plan and purpose. So be alert to that, that God has given you this opportunity. God has given you this life. God has given you these abilities, these resources. And you redeem that significant period of time which God has given to you. Sovereignly bounded period of time in God's plan and purpose for your life. And that sovereignly bounded time given to me may be different from yours, and what God has given to you may be different from mine. So in order to be aware of these things, we need spiritual wisdom, spiritual maturity, to be spiritually discerning. So verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is, we should not be doing anything outside the will of God. We should pray that His will be done in our life. We seek God's will. We must recognize God's will. We must have a desire to know what is God's will, plan, and purpose for the important steps in our life. So we must function within the boundaries of the will of God. So, will of God, redeeming the time, opportunity, walking in wisdom. It is in that context, Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit, because it is only the Spirit of God who can help you in this growth, in this maturity, in this developmental aspect of sanctification. So verse 18, as we have seen, it is in the imperative mood, that is, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Imperative mode, present continuous, that means it has to be repeated. It must be an ongoing thing, not a once and for all experience like anointing of the Spirit, sealing of the Spirit, or the baptism of the Spirit. It is an ongoing thing. And it is something done to us. It is in the passive voice. We don't fill ourselves. It is the Spirit who fills us. Now, this passage, this verses doesn't tell us how to be filled. But several other practical passages in the Bible gives us the clue. And one good example is that if I am full of myself, my sin, my agenda, my will and pride, the Spirit of God cannot fill me. You know, that is the first thing, that I have to be empty of my will, my agenda, my sin. And I should not try to fill myself with me. That is the meaning of Paul's wonderful statement, that is not I, but Christ. It is not I. That I-me syndrome will be a hindrance to the filling of the Spirit. So I have to be empty. It is not my will. Like in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord prayed, but your will be done. So we should allow the Spirit of God to fill us. So definitely the truth of dedication, surrender, as we find in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, play a part in this process. That is, you know, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you that you present your bodies, you present. That is the language of sacrifice, dedication. It's a priestly word, presentation and offering unto God. Your life, that you give yourselves to God. And so it talks about presentation, dedication is necessary, that commitment is necessary, and also that yieldedness, that submissiveness to the leadership and guidance of the Spirit. And we must denounce sin. We must desire for that, the filling of the Spirit. We must denounce sin. We must surrender, dedicate ourselves, and we should depend daily on the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit so that you may not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In my university days, you know, like in the EU camps, I remember studying this topic with 4 D's. And I found my notes from those days, you know, that is the 4 D's. Like in the how-to of filling, what shall I do? Number first D is desire. Number two, desire, that if anyone thirsts, let him drink the water of life freely. And he who believes in me, from his innermost being, rivers of living water shall flow. And Jesus said, I'm talking about the Spirit that will be given to you. So that desire, that thirst. So that is our part. You know, that is our part. So in the developmental sanctification, we have a part. That is why 1 John, we read, you know, I believe in chapter 3, he who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So who purifies you, sanctifies you? The Spirit. But what about your part? Yes, you also have a part. I also have a part. You know, when he appears, we shall be with him, and we will be with him as we will see him as he is, in sinless perfection. So he who has this hope in him, Apostle writes, purifies himself today. That is his personal responsibility. That is that surrender part, yieldedness. 2 Corinthians, shall we turn there for a minute? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves, our part, our responsibility, our cooperation with what the Spirit is doing, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So there we have the fear of God, spirituality, spiritual maturity, and one of the conditions is cleansing ourselves so that the Spirit can fill us. So that desire is there, confession and renunciation of sin, denouncing sin, that is the second D, as I learned in those days. Desire, number one, denounce sin. Number three, dedicate, Romans 12:1-2. Number four, depend daily on the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. So these are some of the practical things which we have to do. And as we cooperate with the developmental sanctification of the Spirit of God, the progressive sanctification that the Spirit of God is doing in our life. Now, verses 19 to 21, Ephesians 5, talks about the result, the consequence of the filling of the Spirit. Some of our Christian friends, you know, they propagate the doctrine that whenever you are filled, you will have an ecstatic experience, you will speak in tongues and all those things. But we don't find any of those things here. This is not talking about this is talking about our normal Christian life. That is, according to the word of God, this is how we believers are expected to live. This is not for spiritual heroes, and or not for missionaries or evangelists or people who are totally dedicated to go to the mission field. No, this is for all of us. Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers who were saved from paganism. And Paul is reminding them that this is the normal Christian life and experience. So when we are filled with the Spirit, what happens? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There will be a spirit-filled communication, fellowship between believers, speaking to one another, communion, communication with a view to edify, a caring, loving, edifying relationship. Now, I'm not saying this. You know, my style is always Bible exposition. I want to show you what is in the text. Let the text speak to us. Speaking to one another. So as believers, we should be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is edifying one another even through our singing and building a relationship, caring, loving relationship. So a spirit-filled communication. That is one of the results, that we are able to touch the lives of others through edifying communication. Our relationship affects others. It becomes a blessing to them. Then, so not only horizontal, but vertical. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. A different way of worship. Spirit-filled worship. That's why worship cannot be artificially produced. Most of the time, when it is artificial, a spiritually mature person will be able to know that it is artificial. Because there is no grace, there is no heart in it. It is just a show. And it is just a performance. Any spiritual ministry done as a performance is easily known by spiritually mature people. So, but when the heart is there, when the grace of God is there, when the Spirit of God is there, that also is discernible. That we can know that. So, speaking to one another, and speaking to the Lord. So, spirit-filled relationship, communion, fellowship, touching lives, caring relationship, and so a different way of relationship and a different way of worship, a spirit-filled singing and worship, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not by compulsion, not as a routine, but by the control, by the urge of the Spirit. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God. That is a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. That is the result of being filled with the Spirit. So what are the results of being filled with the Spirit? I will be a joyful Christian worshiping the Lord. I will be an edifying Christian trying to edify through my fellowship and friendship with fellow believers, edifying conversation. Then, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, a different way of serving. That is learning to be submissive, not dominating. No ego trips, willing to submit to authority, willing to know where I should be humble and submissive, becoming teachable, listening, taking orders, taking counsel. And, taking counsel is always good in our spiritual growth. Probably one of the great things I learned in my upbringing and my childhood, boyhood, and in the cultural situation in which I grew up was that we were always counseled when we made mistakes. Counseled, sometimes it was a little bit of rude because those people were not very refined and educated, but they were very spiritually illuminated. Their words carried authority. So they didn't care whether it offends you or not. They didn't try to be politically correct. So even today, all of us are trying to be politically correct. And so the ministry of counseling, because people are easily offended, they will leave church. There are so many things happening and weakening us. And some of us who have been blessed by the Lord in our spiritual life, or any one of us who can share that testimony, I know that how you have been counseled and corrected and rebuked and helped on the way by parents, by elders, and by others, Bible teachers, all those things have made a tremendous contribution to my own life. And many of you can probably say the same thing. It is not simply learning something directly from the Bible, but learning together by the help of others. So that is being submitting, being submissive. So what are the results of the filling of the Spirit? It is, as we have found here, there is fellowship, there is worship, there is gratitude, and there is submission. No mention of any emotional, ecstatic thing here. It is all related to practical Christian life. You will be a mature Christian, a joyful Christian, a worshipful Christian, a grateful Christian, and a submissive Christian. Seldom we don't connect those things with the filling of the Spirit. People think the filling of the Spirit is kind of a supernatural kind of experience, that out of the world and ecstatic, emotional, reserved for people who are over 80 or 70, and young people and all. This has nothing to do with us. That is the mindset. The reason is we don't really understand what the Scripture is teaching about these things. It is talking about walking in light, walking in love, knowing the will of God, and living, redeeming the time, being controlled by the Spirit with that thirst and with that desire, willing to denounce sin, willing to dedicate ourselves, commit ourselves, depending on the Lord daily and walking with Him. As a result, we become controlled, influenced, dominated by the power of the Spirit. And He gives us that spiritual maturity and discernment. From verse 22, see, when Apostle Paul wrote, there was no paragraph division, nothing, no verse division, chapter. So those chapter division, all those things are helpful. Sometimes it is not very helpful either, because verse 22, wives. Usually we think, oh, he's talking about something else. No, he's talking about the same thing. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be a godly spiritual wife, being submissive. Interestingly, verse 25 in the original text does not have the word submit. That's why some translations in italics or in parentheses. So let me read it to you as Apostle Paul wrote. Verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives to your own husband. I hope you got it. He is completed. Okay, now I have been dealing with the doctrinal things. Okay, it's heavy doctrine. Now come to the practical. No, that is how our thinking today. Oh, we need something practical or something doctrinal. So in our mind, there is a dichotomy between these two, which we have artificially created. In the Word of God, there is nothing like that. The doctrine is there, and it is always followed by the application of it. So, submission. And this should be first shown in our marriage, Christian marriage. We don't have time to get into the details. All of us know that. Husbands love, wives submit. Then, verse 6, it talks about family, children, and parents. Verse 5, about bond servants, Christian bond servants in the workplace. And chapter 6, verse 5, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, about family, parents, fathers, children. Verse 5, about bond servants, workplace. Verse 9, about masters, the employer, the boss, the Christian boss, how you should behave in your workplace. So, look at the practicality of this doctrine. You know, he started with walking in love, walking in life, and walking in light, and walking in wisdom. It is all possible only by the fullness and the control of the Spirit of God. And once we are controlled by the Spirit of God, it will lead us to worship and fellowship and gratitude and submission. And that submission will be manifested first in marriage, and then in family, then in workplace, and in chapter 6. The rest of chapter 6 from verse 10 is about the whole armor of God, that is the spiritual warfare. So let me put it this way. The doctrine of the filling of the Spirit leads to Spirit-filled marriage, Spirit-filled family, Spirit-filled workplaces, Spirit-filled victorious warfare. It all started with the doctrine of the filling of the Spirit. How nice to study God's word like that. In closing, just one more thought from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then, verse 18, wives, submit. Verse 19, husbands, love. Verse 20, children, obey. 21, fathers, do not provoke your children. Verse 22, bond servants, obey in all things. Colossians 4, 1, masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair. So you see the parallel. Ephesians 5, filling of the Spirit. Colossians 3, verse 16, filling by the word of God. Did you get that? The effect, the result is the same. You put it in two columns. You know, my father put this in two columns to teach us this truth. That is, in one place, it is the filling of the Spirit, and the results are the same. These are the results. Then he told us, look at Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16 through chapter 4, verse 1. Put it in the next column. Both the same. Results are the same. The only difference is, in Ephesians, it is the fullness of the Spirit. In Colossians, it is the fullness of the Word. So how do we get filled by the Spirit? When we are filled with the Word and being obedient to the Word. That is the link. The parallel passage Paul wrote in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. then the following instructions and descriptions are almost parallel, almost the same. Why? Because it is through the word, our obedience to the word, not simply the knowledge. Knowledge, it begins with knowledge. It is through the knowledge and the obedience of the word that the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and minds, makes us joyful, thankful, worshipful, relational, caring believers in our married life, in our family life, in our workplace, in our assembly life, and everywhere. You know, I hope and pray that what we have seen today may cement it all together, bind it all together, the biblical spirituality, the practical aspect of it in all areas of our life, assembly life, personal life, family life, married life, and in our workplace. The power of the gospel, the power of transformation, and biblical spirituality is all about Christ's likeness. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the 7 series of studies on biblical spirituality. Pray that these truths may go deep down into our hearts and our minds and make us more like our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our families and our believers and ELBC as an assembly may be a gathering of godly people, godly men and women, whether young or old, being spiritually mature, grown, spiritually discerning, spirit-filled Christians. We know it is not easy. There should be a desire. There should be a denunciation. There should be a dedication. And there should be a real commitment. Father, we pray that thou may help us to put these things into our personal lives. Thank you for the opportunity to learn and to teach and to learn it together. Make it a wonderful blessing, effective blessing, lasting blessing to each and every one of us. We pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.